Well, good morning. So good to see you here today. We welcome you today. I know we have three people that have the same birthday, April the 14th. My dad became an octogenarian on the 14th. And Dave, I don't know how old Dave is. Dave's birthday is on the 14th, and Joel, number three, was on the 14th. Anybody else have a birthday on the 14th? Oh, you want to have another child on the 14th? Yeah. She needs three girls to go with those three boys. Oh, boy, what a blessing. Glad you're here. Glad you're here today. I want to remind you of a couple of things. On the back of the bulletin is a list of life groups. Now, I want you to do me a favor today. We have these cards that we pray over every Monday morning. Get together. Put your prayer request on there. Any response you have today, particularly if there's a prayer that you want us to pray with you, or if you make a profession of your faith in Christ for the first time, we'd really like to hear about that, or if you need information on life group. But if you're interested in getting, you're not in a life group right now, and you're interested in getting in one, and they don't have to meet at night, they can meet during the day, they can meet many times. By the way, in the rest of the world, this is the way the church is growing. By leaps and bounds, not in these gatherings like this. We gather, the church gathers in large gatherings, but the way the church is on fire in the third world, which is where it's really growing today, is in home groups, because that's malleable. It can change, and governments can't. It's harder to suppress that, because they can change it, change the meeting place, do all of that. And if some would have it their way in our country, they would make it very difficult for us to speak publicly about things. We're right around the corner from that with hate speech. I hope y'all realize that. There's some things that are clearly spelled out in the Scripture that are wrong, that we voice publicly. Right now, some in our government don't want us to be saying publicly. One is speaking about homosexuality. There's legislation out there that's that far away from somebody adopting that and saying, you can't say that publicly. What does that say about what we do here? So I want you to see the importance of being in a life group maybe just hadn't found one, maybe just need an invitation, but if you're interested, put it on there, life group, and make sure you put your name on it so we know who that is, okay? If you had some change in information this week, because some of you change your email address every month, please let us hear from you. Now, I've still got my pen in my journal. And today I'm just going to preach out of my journal, and of course out of the Bible. But things that the Lord changed my message that I was going to preach today late yesterday afternoon, and I got here today and heard what Dane presented, Jeremiah 29:11-13, and really pricked my heart and said, Lord, I see what you're doing today. It's all running on the same course. I do want y'all to know, Dane, Rick, and I, we for months out are looking at where we're going with messages and all. This isn't stuff that just comes up, boom, oh, we'll do that tomorrow, you know, kind of thing. That isn't how it works. Praying over it and being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And being sensitive enough to change when the Spirit says change. So today, I want to share this with you. And I hope you'll hear me. Last week we began a new series as we're talking about warfare. And last week we looked at the nature of the battle that we're in. And today I'm going to ask you again to do something for me. I want you to hear my heart. Okay? I want you to hear what I'm saying from my heart for you. Because we're not doing this for our health. A lot of other things we could be doing, you could be doing, and all. But God is working. He's moving. He's acting in the earth today, and we want to join Him. So I want to pray a prayer for us, and then let's dive in together. Lord, I thank You for today. I thank You for a great body of believers. Lord, I know in this body that there are people here who are committed to You and who would be willing to die together. Lord, I know that in my heart. And I thank You. I thank You for such commitment. I'm asking You, Lord, today that You'd speak. You'd speak to us. You'd make things plain to us. And we wouldn't just roll over or to whatever the whims of culture say. Lord, some of us have... have lived long enough already. We've seen culture do a lot of things in our lifetime. I ask You to speak to us today. We command the evil one, and we command any demonic presence that may be lurking about, go, flee by the power of Jesus' name. This place, this time, belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. We bless You, Lord. And I thank You. In Your name we pray. Amen. Now, the message I had intended today was entitled Root or Fruit. And we'll get to it. We'll get to it next week. But when we're dealing with issues and the issues of life, sometimes we want to dance around them. It's easier to dance around them, isn't it? But I believe God wants us to address issues, deal with them straightforwardly. You know, I could probably spend the rest of my life just presenting sweet little sermonettes for the Christianettes. At the end of it, you could say, and we'll all be better persons for it. But I don't believe that's what God's called us to be and to do. I really don't. Several weeks back at 9:30, and I do want to put in a plug for 9:30. If you're missing out on our 9:30 time, it is a great teaching time, interactive time. Every week, you go home just thinking about those questions, the videos. It is a wonderful time. Rick and Dave are doing a wonderful job with that, and I want to encourage you to be a part of it. It is highly participatory. Encourage you to be a part of it. But they showed this picture, and I hadn't been able to get it out of my mind. It compared life as a Christian, either you want to be on the cruise ship or the battleship. And as we looked at that, and you can see the obvious comparison. Most Christians in America, they're wanting to spend life on the cruise ship. And that's how they choose a church. Well, you know, I got better meals over there. I got better treatment over there. It was five-star treatment. Because it's all about me, right? But on the other hand, we sense what God's doing in the earth today. He's not preparing people for vacation. He's preparing them for war. To go to battle. To get on the battleship of what's going on in the earth today. Not a cruise ship. Now, I want to just share you some things today about where I'm coming from. Maybe you're interested, maybe you're not. Maybe I'll bore you to tears. Well, just chalk it up to boredom. But I'm probably not going to bore you. I'm probably either going to make you glad or mad. So hang on. Here are some things I think you need to know about me and about my worldview and about where I'm coming from. First and foremost, I am fully expecting the Lord Jesus Christ to come back to this earth for the second time in my lifetime. Fully. I am absolutely convinced that I will not see death before I see Jesus. I'm convinced of that. Now you say, well, Dusty Paul was expecting the same thing. I'm in good company. That's the way I am choosing to live my life. Not pushing his second coming off into some far distant future that you can never get your hands on, but reading the New Testament and seeing the blessed hope of the Lord Jesus Christ coming back and coming back soon. And I mean real soon. I remember sitting in, I was in Haringey, north part of London, at David and Linda Fennell's flat there, and picked up a book that David had. The guy's name was Dolan, I think. He's a Jewish American who's also a believer in Jesus. And I was reading, he was doing an exposition of one of the Psalms. And I remember this like it was yesterday. It was years ago, 7, 8, 10 years ago. And he was reading one of the Psalms. I don't remember which Psalm it was. And he said, could this Psalm be talking about the Holocaust? Talking about smoke. It talked about a lot of things. I don't remember the particular Psalm. Obviously, I had not planned to share this illustration. I would have gotten all that information for you. But I'll get it for you later if you're interested. But I remember my heart being quickened immediately as I read his interpretation of that, and I thought, you know, God, this stuff that I'm reading here in your book is happening right now. It's going on. Now, as a student of the Word, there are many times in the past where I tucked particular scriptural application neatly into the future where, yes, I'm going to apply it for today, but I've got an out. I've got a way out. God's not letting me up off the carpet. He's got me in His clutches. He's saying, this word is for today. And let me hasten on to one that is for today. You know, here for centuries, they scoffed, and I mean even some Christian scholars who believed in the inerrancy of the Word of God, they scoffed at the fact that the Jews, they'll never have a real homeland here on this earth. That's just talking about things figuratively in the future. Let me go to 1948 and see that they have a homeland. And right now, everybody in the world, it seems, wants to kill them. And look what's happening to them. They're prospering. Because God's got His hand on them. Now, I don't understand all of that. Some of it just really makes me uncomfortable sometimes. But I see it as a work of God. That God did it. And He's doing it. And it's being fulfilled right now before my very eyes. And I know some of you think, oh, Dusty, you're getting all excited about that stuff. You bet I'm getting excited about it. Because I'm seeing God do exactly what He said He was going to do. And I want to be a part of it. Don't you? Or do you still want to keep on dancing to the tune of whatever tune is being played out there in the culture that divides people all the time? Or do you want to join with the chorus of Jesus forever? Let me hasten on. You got that first point? I'm expecting Jesus in my lifetime. Oh, you're wrong, Dusty. Well, prove it. Prove it. You can come, and if I happen to get to heaven before Jesus comes, and I get to come with Him, when he comes back with the group, you can go, nanny, nanny, poo-poo, I told you. But that's up to you. I'm expecting Him. Second thing, our world is not getting better. Now granted, you can go to some things in our culture that have improved, some things that are better, and I'll grant those. There are some things that are great and marvelous things that are happening. And I'll point one out to you. I don't want to go back to the 40s and 50s. I don't want to go back to Jim Crow laws. I don't want to go back to a time where there are two sets of rules and two bathrooms, you know, one for people who happen to be this color and one for, no. All right. I don't want to go, that part is better. But let me tell you, our world is not better today. And if you're sitting here today and you're thinking that you're safer today, that you're better today because of what this world has to offer, you need to start getting out a little bit more. You need to start reading a little bit more about what's really going on in the world today. I mean, we're having this nuke conference, and it's a great thing to try to get everybody to the table. But not everybody's to the table. The nutcases aren't coming to the table, are they? Nor will they. And if you get them to the table, they're going to lie. So today, I just want you to know where I'm coming from. Now, you can have another opinion about it, but what I'm telling you, prove it. Prove it. Now, there's a post-millennial viewpoint that, you know, that was about last things. I'll get into all this today. But it was very popular before World War I and World War II. And it was a view that the world was just going to keep getting better and better and better and better and better until Jesus came back. Let me ask you, how's that worked out? You read Matthew 24 about the second, about Jesus coming, what He had to say about His coming. And you read about wars and rumors of war. You read about earthquakes. Been seeing any earthquakes lately? There's a cloud. Oh, I talked to somebody in Europe 2 days ago. They said, man, all the planes, it's uncanny that you don't hear planes going over right now. This cloud that's come from this volcanic blow up. And it's lasting longer. It's coming over from Iceland. This cloud. Who did that? Who did it? God. He allowed that to happen. Do you think it's getting everybody's attention over there? They said the airline industry is losing $200 million a day. 1 million travelers a day not able to travel right now because of a little cloud that has come over. Are you following me here? Now, I'm looking forward to debating this with some of you. I really am. I really want you to challenge me about these things. I want to get down with it and let's get into the Word of God. And if it requires us getting our ire up a little bit, then let's do it. Get it on. Let's do it. Third thing. There are people in the world right now that want you dead just because of who you are. There's a large group, and it happens to be a limited group of an even larger group. I'm not very PC on this, but it's radical Islam. If you happen to be a Christian or a Jew, there are no ifs, ands, or buts. They want you dead. And you're kidding yourself today if you're sitting around thinking that, oh, they've changed. They've changed. Well, have they quit sending out suicide bombers? First, it was just men. Who did the one in Russia? It was a woman. Face it. You got to face it. You cannot hide your head in the sand and say, well, that doesn't affect us. It sure does affect us. Fourth thing. God is clear. He does not stutter on the subject of Jerusalem and on His people. He says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That is a command. And what does He say about His people? He says, I will bless those who bless them. And what's the other part? Why do you reckon this country has been so blessed of God? Well, I can't tell you all the reasons. One of the reasons we're founded on Judaic Christian principles. Our founding fathers. We're founded more on this book right here than on anything else. The system of our government and freedom that we enjoy. Freedom that everyone, you know, how many countries around the world are they closing up the borders because so many people want to get in? And by the way, all the people that speak against us, well, if you're doing that, then don't line up at the gate trying to get over here. Stay where you are. But I'll hasten to say, another reason why we've been blessed by God is because we've blessed Israel. We've blessed the Jewish people. Right now, Israel doesn't have too many friends in the world. And we have a few people around in our country that would like to cut it off with them right now. And they're trying to do it. And let me tell you, I'm praying against that. Because, you know, when we as a nation cut them off, what does God say? You curse them and... Did He say that or not? He said it. It's clear. A little halftime partner. Are you hearing my heart? Okay. Fifth thing. I believe deep in my heart that the only hope for this world is the Lord Jesus Christ. Not ideas about Him. Not nice things. All those are good and a little happy. It is the personal Jesus. He is the only one that I've seen come into a person's life and change that person. A person filled with hate, filled with discord, and Jesus comes in their life and suddenly the love of God is upon them. Isn't that interesting? Radical Islam wants to kill Christians and Jews. And what am I praying for them? I'm not praying somebody that we're going to nuke them. I'm praying for their salvation. That God will come through His love and will change their hearts that we could spend forever. No matter what race, you know, the race I'm interested in is the human race that we have in common, all of us. A sixth thing. I believe deep in my heart that the Western Church, Church of the West, of our larger culture, has largely sold its soul to convenience and compromise. That's my belief. And again, I look forward to debating that with you. But be prepared. I didn't start thinking about this yesterday. Convenience and compromise. Why would I say that? Because I look around, and more than any place else, the first place I look is in the mirror. Does who I really am match who God has designed me to be? Seventh thing. There can be no real revival in this country without repentance and faith. I've seen moves of God. I've seen God do marvelous things. But I can't call it revival until I see two things. Because according to this word, it's not going to come until these two things happen. Repentance and faith. When God brought revival, people were on their faces before God. And not because of what they could get out of Him, but because they realized that grace and mercy could only come from Him. That He could put Humpty Dumpty back together again. He could give us a great life in Him. He could renew us. That we were not damned to hell for eternity. But that God had given His best, His unique one and only Son, to be our Savior, to step in our place on the cross. Eighth thing, I believe, clearly and plainly. All of the gifts, underline it three times, all of the gifts of the Holy Spirit are for today. I am not a cessationist. There are those who believe that certain gifts of the Holy Spirit, particularly miraculous sign gifts, when the canon of Scripture was complete, the need for those went away. And I have researched that for decades and have not found one shred of evidence to prove that. In fact, what I see around the world and see in third world countries right now, as the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ goes forth, as evangelism takes place, that there are signs and wonders and God is doing miraculous things in the world. He's still the same God. And He cannot be roped in by some narrow theological harebrained idea. He's God. And His Word is true. By the way, as a sidelight, I do believe in the inerrant, infallible, inspired, that is God-breathed Word. Every word of it. Number nine, I believe we're in a war. We're in a battle right now for our lives. And who are we in a battle with? Well, first of all, I believe we're at war in the culture right now. There's a cultural battle taking place right now, all around us. I'll get to that later on in another message. We're also at war with morality. What do you mean by that, Dusty? Well, look at abortion. One of the most dangerous places for a human being to be today is in the womb. You talk about dangerous place, that spot in town, and he pointed that out to us in Port-au-Prince down Haiti. This is a spot where a lot of murders have taken place. Hey, that's not near the danger it is in the womb. I'll hasten to say, and I know we probably in a crowd this side, we have women here who have had abortions. I want you to know that Jesus forgives. And He makes things right. And He'll come with His power in your life. But I can't stand over here and say it's okay, because there are still lives on the line. And if anybody says that abortion is okay, I'm not with you. Do you hear me? I'm not with you. I will not be with you on that subject. We will be in opposition to one another on that subject. Life begins at conception. God makes life. What are other moral issues? Abuse. Abuse isn't going down in this country. It's rising. All sorts of abuse. Physical, sexual abuse. We could tell stories here today. There's a war going on. Crime. Drugs. Has drug trafficking gone down? Is it better in Savannah, Georgia? No. How about murder? That's particularly close here in Savannah, because we deal with a... Now, thank God, I think that this past year it went down 17%. But we're still one of the... per capita... one of the high murder rate places in the nation. That should concern us. Little children wondering as they go by, is there going to be a drive-by? How about pornography? Look at the access that children have today through the internet and through television to pornography. And tell me today it's not influencing our culture. We're at war. We're at war with the media. Just this week, this coming week, do a little test. Test how many times you hear a positive story about a believer in Jesus. Test it out. Come back and give me the count. And at the same time you're counting that, how many times you've heard innuendo and sly remarks made about a person who's trusting in Jesus? Now, by the way, there's somebody already out there counting that for you. It's already happening. There's a war going on. How about ideology? Changing belief. Saying the same words, but making them mean different things. Is there a war going on there? How about theology? Is there a war going on? I read it this past week. A guy that pastored a very large church, and he comes out and says, well, homosexuality is okay. Is there a war going on with those who want to strip freedom from you in this country? Who want to put you in bondage? Finally, I think I could sum it up saying it's a war with the world, the flesh, and the devil. Do you agree with that? There's no in between for that question. It's one way or the other. Do you believe that? A tenth thing, I believe, is time for us to get it right. It's time for us to be healed. James 5:13 says this. Excuse me, 5:14. Is any among you sick? Therefore call for the elders of the church. They can pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick. The Lord will raise him up. He's committed sins, they'll be forgiven him. What am I saying? I'm saying, realize the landscape of what is. And I tell you, if you're going around saying to your children, oh, it's all happy, everything's just right, and you're going to go out into the world, and they're just going to love you because you're lying to them. What I am saying is, arm them with the truth and the real joy that comes from serving Christ. And the real truth that is found by serving Him and being under His blessing. That the blessing isn't going to come from the world. The blessing comes from Jesus. Do you understand me? It's time for us to be healed. It's time for the church to be healed. We don't need to be in the hospital and spend all our time in the hospital when the battle is raging. It's time to get well and get back into the battle that God's called us to. It's also time for us to be reconciled. 2 Corinthians says this in 5:18. Now all these things are from God who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them. He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. It's time for reconciliation. It's time to get it right. Whatever stuff you've got out there, it's time to start keeping short accounts. It's time to get it right with your brother and sister. It's time for relationships to be mended. And you say, well, what if they don't want to mend? You mend on your side so there's not a chain around your ankle. Because as long as there's unforgiveness in your life, you've got a chain around your ankle and you're being controlled by that thing. It's time to forgive and let's move on. It's time for reconciliation to get the power of God in our lives. It's time to be delivered. In the Lord's model prayer, when you look in Matthew, it says, and deliver us from, and the word, the phrase there is tou poneirou. And literally it says, the evil. And it could very accurately be translated and deliver us from the evil one. And see, we believe all that. We want to be delivered from evil and the evil one. It's time to cut off his access to your life so you can get back in the battle. Are you following me? Are you or not? Okay. It might be time, if you've never received Christ, to be saved. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. It's time, if you've not received Christ, and maybe you've played around with church all your life. Maybe you've played around the edges. Maybe you're a member of a church. You know, God's not really as much into church membership as He is into Jesus membership. Do you belong to Jesus? Do you know Him? Not know about Him, but do you know Him? Do you actually have Him living in your life? When a person receives Christ, that means He comes to take up residence in them. His power. It's time to be sanctified. To live a sanctified life. What does Ephesians 5:18 say? It says, in its command, it says, be filled with the Spirit. It's in the imperative mode, and it says, do it. It's a command. Be filled with the Spirit. God wants us to be, and that's what it means to be sanctified. It's being made holy. Hagios is the word there. For holy and holiness. He is that Hagios spirit, that Holy Spirit, set apart one. He is the Spirit of Jesus who wants to fill you with His power. Is that what's filling you today? Have you been filled with the Spirit of God? It's time for us to stop living like victims. Do you hear me? And start living like victors. Say, well, Dusty, you don't know what's going on in my life. Jesus does. And He wants you to be set free. And He's either going to take it away from you or give you the grace to live with it. Is that simple? Do you believe that? What do we have to look forward to? It's time for us to start living with the true joy of Jesus. He said, Dusty, you just went through a whole list of things of it. Pardon the French, but it looks like our world's going to hell in a handbasket. It is. That's why Jesus is going to have to come and to save it all. That's true. That's why we need to be with Him and be in the eye of the hurricane. To be experiencing His power and to go into the world and not to look at the world's problems, oh, woe is me, you know, I'm just going to lean over and die. No, to go in there and say, Jesus has a better way for you. To see this become a great time for evangelism. A time for people growing close to the Lord. For God to defy the economic laws of this country with His economy. Does that mean we keep on doing things the way we... No! But it means He's got a better economy for me and you. Let me ask you. Is the world you live in right now, is it ready for what's coming? Are they ready? Two-thirds of you probably don't even know the question I'm asking you. Are they ready? Are they ready for what's on the horizon? The only way you can be ready is to have Jesus living in you and living in His power. It's time to stop playing around with it. Start living it. Do you believe God will provide for you? Look at the people in the book of Acts. Did He provide for them? Did it matter what the economy, what was going on at the time? Did he provide for you? You bet he did. Will he provide for you? Will he come to you? And you, and you, and you. I'm counting on it. I'm counting on it. Let's pray. We're going to open the altar. If you want to come on and pray, you can come on even while I'm praying. I'm going to ask our pastors and our life group leaders to take their places around. But maybe you want to spend some time at the altar. It's up to you today. Do you hear me today? I'm calling on you to trust God. To trust Him. And no one else. Lord, today, I thank You for the hope that I have in You. The hope that You're coming, Jesus. And that I belong to You. That my children belong to You. My wife belongs to You. And today, God, I'm interceding. I'm asking, Lord, that You would remove the negativity from our lives. That we would see the plan of God for us laid out. The love story. The rescue. Jesus, we're asking You to come in power. We're asking You to light us up for You. But Lord, none of that can happen until we change. Because You're not going to force Your way. Lord, let us come in repentance. Change our mind and our heart about You and about our world and what we're trusting in, Lord. And today, if we're trusting in our stuff, and in our money, and in what we can provide, God, I'm asking You to remove that trust from us. And may today we trust only in You. Come, Holy Spirit. Come now. Come with Your love. God, I'm asking You for a baptism of love like we've never seen it. Lord, in this army of Jesus, this army of love that goes out with the most powerful force in the world, which is the love of Christ, reconciling men, brother with brother, that we can see the power of God come. I'm asking You for that today, Lord. Let us be Your church. Come, Holy Spirit. Come now. The altar's open. Say one other thing to you from my heart today that I believe in a powerful way. I think several years ago, back in 2007, God gave us a word as a church to prepare. What we're preparing for. We know everything. Still don't know everything. No more today about what we're preparing for, but to prepare. And later on we got a word, prepare not to just survive, but to thrive. Because see, we've got to thrive so others can survive. Do you get the economy? Do you get God's economy in that? We need to prepare. Prepare for everything that God has out there for. Whatever it is, God, bring it on. Let me be Your servant. Whatever You put in my hand, I realize that's what You put in my hand. Just like old Moses, you know. He told him, he said, pick up that staff. That staff, Moses. And then what did he say? Throw it down. and he threw it down. Became a hissing snake. Went and ate up the snakes of the Pharaoh's magicians. And then what did God tell Moses to do? Go pick it up. But God, it's a hissing snake. But I'm God. He picked it up. Became a staff again. Do you get it? Do you get it? I fumbled with my words today. And let me say to you today, whatever words I spoke today that were not of God, let them fall to the ground. But every single syllable that I spoke today that came through the voice of God, we cannot ignore. What did God speak to you? What did He speak to you? We'd sure like to get those cards from you. If you hadn't given us your card, you can bring them on now. If you have an offering to bring, you can bring that now. We'll wait just another moment. Before I send you out, I want to tell you I love you. I want to say to you, I take seriously being one of the shepherds of this flock. It's a high responsibility that I'm going to be judged for based on my performance. How I carry out what God has instructed me to do. So I take it very seriously. I wouldn't say the things that I say to you if I didn't love you. Because sometimes, even with my children, I have to get in a language that they can understand. God has to get in a language I can understand. So I want you to know all the things I spoke to you today, He's already spoken to me. I'm just delivering the message. I want to pray that as you go out today, that you'll hear His voice. Not all the voices of the culture, but you'll hear His voice. And that you'll do what He tells you to do. Can we make that deal right now? Do what He tells you to do. Be His servant. God bless you. Go in Jesus' name.